We're joined by Paul Beeston, president of the Toronto Blue Jays, and we greatly appreciate Paul joining us. Paul, I wanted to ask you about the tragedy in Arlington last night, where a fan died from injuries suffered after falling from the left field stands while trying to catch a ball thrown to him by Josh Hamilton. My first question is, as president of a team, we all know we love the fan-player interaction. You know, as a fan of the game, I've been beside a kid who's caught the ball. It's great to see the look in their face. Is this something that will have to be addressed as a result of this unfortunate incident by Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I think they'll have to certainly look at it. I mean, let's be realistic about it, Jeff. We all feel it when we hear it. We see it. Could that happen in our stadium? But, you know, the thing that you do like to think of is what you talk about, the interaction between the player and the fan. So often players are criticized for not giving that interaction. The throwing of balls into the stadiums or into the seats right now happens in every stadium. Mm-hmm. And what turns out to a nice gesture, you know, your thoughts go to Josh Hamilton, but particularly the family of the young boy that lost his life. And you know, he's just reaching for it and doing the normal thing, and obviously lost balance and he's down. And it's just it is a tragedy. I'm not 100% certain of the distance of the fall or how you would equate it to the stadium here, but you think about that at all times, don't you? I mean, and you know, but at the same time, it's the same thing that happens when there was that tragedy in Cincinnati a few years ago, where someone was that might have been 15 years ago, someone reaching for a ball in the upper deck
and fell down.
And fell down. And this is another one. But what started out as a nice gesture to give the fan a ball or throw it up into the seat so that somebody can walk away with it, which everybody likes to do, ended up it's terrible. It's terrible.
Now, I know that in clubhouses around Major League Baseball, I mean, there's a list of rules and you know, suggestions posted, and one of them is, you know, that objects should not be put, you know, thrown into the crowd. And I mean, again, this is, for people who haven't seen
happened,
the play,
yep.
this was a gesture by Josh. I mean, players often do that, the final out of the inning, right? You run over
right.
And you kind of lob the ball in the crowd. This was like one of those, just a
right.
combination of horrible circumstances. But do you think that maybe that Commissioner Selig might send out some sort of missive today to teams and say, look, talk to your players about this?
He may well. Here's what happened, and I remember from the lockout of 95. You know, when we came back, at that point in time, there was a whole new way of trying to get the players and the teams to interact with the fans as we're trying to rebuild the games. And one of them was, you know, you had the players signing autographs. But the thing that started at that point in time were more balls that were given to fans. So it's, you know, if you watch at the end of every inning.
Mm-hmm.
From when our players come in, they won. Whoever the first baseman will always throw a ball up into the stands,
mm-hmm.
you know, right above the dugout. You know, and he might go a little bit to the right, a little bit to the left, but in that area, they'll always throw one up. You'll see it sometimes when, you know, a foul ball, you know, they try to give them to the fans, and if you don't, you get the boos and everything else. The answer to that, I suspect, is that Bud will look at this and come out with something, but I don't know that for sure. I haven't seen anything, and I think that it's something that has to be looked at, and certainly a decision has to be made. But it's a terrible situation where, you know, the practice of giving the balls to the fans, where, you know, I can tell you, I will get 25 balls a year. I got this ball of the game. Can you get an autograph by so-and-so for me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the fans like it.
Mm-hmm.
The fans like it. So it's a tough one to examine.
Paul Beeston, president of the Toronto Blue Jays, joins us on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590. I want to get to some wider issues about the Jays, Paul, but the whole incident with Frank Francisco last night, as it was reported in the Toronto Sun, certainly, and also by the Associated Press, I think John Farrell addressed it in the morning show. He's going to address it with Frank Francisco. How concerned are you when you see something like that happen, when you see not a guy close... fail to close a game? I know how concerned you are, but when you that type
enjoyable.
Of it,
well, the other is inexcusable.
Yeah, the interaction between the player and the reporter, that really is inexcusable.
Inexcusable, and it has to be dealt with. And I can assure you that it will be dealt with, but it'll be dealt with in a manner that will be done with Alex and John coming up with the proper way of doing it. And I think it will be done quickly. And I'm sure that John on the morning show this morning has said what he's planning on doing. But the only thing that I can say about it is that there is no defense for it.
Paul Beeston joins us on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590. Where is this team right now, do you think, Paul? Are you happy with? I mean, I'm not going to ask if you're happy with the record, but are you satisfied with the progress the team has made on the field and off the field?
I'm satisfied with the progress that we're heading to, Jeff. I have a very good feeling about what the organization is doing. Is that colored by the minor leagues and the prospects we have, by some of the pieces that we have at the major league levels, including arguably the best player in the game right now? I mean, whether he is or he's not, he's in a handful with Batista. Mm-hmm. We're very happy with four or five or six or seven other people. We know we have weaknesses. We know we have to work on it, but we also know we have to have patience. And, you know, as we go forward into this, you can't say that you're satisfied. I don't think that would be anybody who was any team that's five games under 500 can say that they're satisfied. On the other hand, I think that we do believe that the plan that Alex put in place to begin with is one that, if implemented and executed in the proper manner, is going to lead us where we want to be, which is a sustainable basis. As you know, this was not one when he came in here that we said, look, we want to win this thing and let's just go out and get every good player that we can get, win it right away. We want to build something that will be have some continuity to it and some sustainability. And so I see that and I feel good about that. But it is frustrating to lose these games. I mean, if you look at last weekend, I mean, if you were a traveling salesman from out of town and you decided to go to see three Philly Blue Jay games and you didn't care who won because your favorite team was the California Angels, you had three great entertaining games.
Right.
Games against Pittsburgh, entertaining games. Games against Boston, but we lost. I mean, and you know, that's the problem, and that's the part that's frustrating. And then last night, I mean, you know, you take a 4-0 lead at the bottom of the night. Mm-hmm. I can't say it because, you know, there's no time clock in baseball, but mentally you put that in the win column.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
You know, you do that. I mean, and then, you know, you don't even have to, when that ball went out, click. It didn't go mute. It went click. Let's get off. I don't want to watch it. You know, and then you have trouble sleeping.
Paul, in terms of attendance, and the team got off to a really good start. You're still ahead of last year. I don't have the numbers in front of me, frankly, because my internet's slow. But I don't know why it would be slow in a Rogers building. Anyhow.
I wasn't going to say that because we're both employed by them.
I know. Well, I just did. But anyhow, Where is the team in terms of attendance? Are you on pace to meet projections?
Yeah, we're on pace to go over projections. In fact, we're well above last year, Jeff. In every which way, paid attendance, turnstile attendance, and those are the two measures. The revenue is up. You know, we're satisfied with that direction completely. You know, the advance was good. I hope that you know that the fans are buying into what the future is, which is all these good young players. That they can watch build and they can be part of the growing, just like any good young team that can mature at once. And, you know, we think we have the wherewithal to keep these players so that we don't have to get rid of them. They can become good all at one point in time so that we can return what the fans deserve which is a championship team. And so, you know, we're seeing it there. And that part of it off the field has been terrific this year.
And I was going to say, I would think the fact that Jose Bautista was the leading vote getter. Look, a lot of that is due to the fact that Jose, you know, was a great player, is arguably the best player in baseball. He's definitely in the discussion. But also,
right,
you know,
no question.
You guys, I mean, to give the Blue Jays credit, you marketed a guy that had to have some sort of impact. I mean, there was a real push to get Jose into the All-Star game.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? And you know, I thought the players speaking out on his behalf, I mean, I think Jose kind of saying, you know, that election campaign that they had where, you know, I am Jose Bautista and I endorse the previous announcement. Mm-hmm. You know, all of that stuff was good. But you know, I think that he's starting to get some type of recognition at other ballparks. And so all of that was all part of it. But, you know, it's that type of thing that I think that, you know, the fans are enjoying, because you're coming down here and you are seeing a guy that, as advertised, is hitting them out. And, you know, he had that little bit of a lull there, but he's a special player, and we're seeing him at a special time in his career.
Paul, where do you think we're going as far as issues such as realignment or you know, changing division structure and that? Obviously, there's discussions about it. The fact that it's going along, or that it seems to be dovetailed nicely with the collective agreement, would indicate to me that there's a chance we may see some change. I don't know if it's a change Blue Jays fans want to see. But are you getting the sense that baseball next year, or certainly the year after, will look a little different in terms of the standing or in terms of the divisions?
Yeah, I have the advantage of being on the committee that is discussing this, Jeff, and so, you know, I know that the discussions are significant, that they're serious. They are, you know, with every decision that you make, you know, there is somebody sometimes that isn't happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you have to look at that. But it is being taken very, very seriously. I think that the commissioner wants to get something done, and I think he wants to get it done that will again be something that will last for a long period of time. I mean, it's not something, let's have a 5-year fix here, or
right,
let's do something that we're going to reexamine. Let's do it right. Let's see if we can have this thing for 25 years or 2 or 3 generations. And, you know, if someone wants to fix it at that time because of circumstance and changing, they can. So I'm satisfied with it going along in a direction that I think that you'll see some changes in short order. Yeah.
You know, it's funny because a lot of people look at Bud Selig and I think they have this impression of this guy who isn't really in favor of change. But if you look at what he's done under his tenure, yep, I mean, there has been change, hasn't there? It's just, sure, it's been gradual. It's been considered change, I guess, is how I would describe it.
I think that's a great word. It is considered change. And you know, that's what he's looking at right now. I mean, I would think it's fair to say that Bud doesn't like change. I think that what you said earlier, that's probably true. On the other hand, he understands its necessity. The facts change, he has to change his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, but he wants to make sure that it's done right. And so he's put together a couple of terrific committees, and I have said from the first meeting that I ever had with these guys when we were down in Phoenix a year and a half ago, was as good a meeting that I have attended at any place. I mean, it was a free flow of ideas for 5.5 hours, and with getting all the issues on the table that should be discussed. And the bottom line was, there was no decisions made then, but there was an agenda that was put together of what we could do to look at to improve the game without changing the game. I mean,
mm-hmm,
you know, so that you end up with it being, you know, a significant change, but it doesn't appear to be that change. And we keep the basic rules and tenets that are in existence right now, so that there's not any effect on that.
Paul, I appreciate you joining us this morning.
Yeah, have a great weekend.
You too.
Looks like the sun's going to shine. Hopefully we can get a few wins in Cleveland.